The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from various medical sources. The People's Pharmacy. Skeeter syndrome can be long-lasting. Question. I suffer from unusually severe reactions to mosquito bites. Each bite causes a red swollen area the size of a quarter. I've learned to never scratch as the red area will grow to several inches and take weeks to clear up. Last summer, about 20 bites gotten while I was gardening caused an immune system reaction triggering eczema that lasted for months. After I'd suffered for years, a dermatologist prescribed trimethoprim. It's been life-changing. Just the smallest dab on a mosquito bite makes it disappear within 24 hours. A bite rarely needs a second application. Why isn't this medicine mentioned as a treatment for extreme mosquito bite reactions? Answer. There is a medical term for your exaggerated reaction to mosquito bites. It's called, quote, Skeeter syndrome, quote, from the American, cited in the American Family Physician, December 15, 2013. The intense redness and itching are caused by allergens in the saliva of mosquitoes. Symptoms can persist far longer than a typical bite response. Why some people are hypersensitive remains a mystery. The best way to overcome such reactions is with topical prescription-strength corticosteroids like triamcinolone. The sooner they are applied after a bite, the better. Oral prednisone is sometimes warranted in the case of extreme bite reaction. Question. I used the brand Imitrex for migraine headaches for years with excellent results. After being switched to generic sumatriptan, I got only half the headache relief that Imitrex provided. Often the headaches recur, dragging on for days. What's more, I get hives every time I take the medicine. I never had hives with Imitrex. I can't afford over $700 for the brand name medicine. What can you suggest? Answer. The Food and Drug Administration has assured the public that all generic drugs are the same as their brand name counterparts. Despite this, many people report changes in effectiveness or unexpected side effects when they take generic versions. Your hives could be a reaction to one of the so-called inactive ingredients in generic sumatriptan. You might consider purchasing brand name Imitrex from a legitimate Canadian drugstore. The price is dramatically lower than in the U.S. Be careful about selecting the store online, however. It must be registered with a Canadian province in which it has brick-and-mortar stores. Natural solutions for rash under breasts. Question. I have large breasts and have had an unpleasant rash under them for about a week now. I have tried a bunch of home remedies that I found on your website. Coconut oil was too greasy. Paper towels get stuck to my skin, and baby powder leaves my tiny clumps under my breast. I even tried Desodyn diaper rash cream, but it dried my skin out too much. Do you have other advice for me? I am feeling desperate. Answer. This is an exceptionally common problem at this time of the year. Heat and humidity encourage the growth of fungus that can cause a rash. It is the same type of organism that causes jock itch. Some men have found that using Cetaphil cleanser for the affected area can help control the rash. The propylene glycol it contains has antifungal activity. Another popular remedy is using dandruff shampoo to wash the skin that has the rash. Be gentle. Fungal infections should not be scrubbed or irritated. Other people, both men and women, have utilized the antifungal activity of old-fashioned amber Listerine for jock itch or underbreast rash. Some people like to use a lotion containing tea tree oil, which also fights fungus. Be careful, though. Tea tree oil can trigger an allergic reaction similar to contact dermatitis in sensitive people. Here is one last suggestion from another reader. Quote, put two green tea bags in a medium-sized bowl with water. Let this sit for a couple of hours. Use a clean washcloth dipped in the solution as a cold compress a few times a day. Question. For some reason, the past 2 years, my knees have been aching terribly when I lie down in bed. I have no pain at all when I'm standing, walking, or sitting, just when I'm lying down. I figure it's some kind of arthritis, but I really don't know what is causing it. Your soap remedy kept popping up in your newsletter, so 6 months ago I finally decided to try it for my knees. It was amazing. And one night, the pain was totally gone. On vacation, I spent a few nights in bed without soap. Guess what? My knees ached again. Answer. We have heard from several other readers that soap can help ease arthritis pain temporarily. We really don't know how or why this works, although we suspect it has something to do with transient receptor potential, TRP, channels in the nerves that transmit pain. That might explain why capsaicin cream and other arthritis rubs can be helpful as well. How much protein should you eat each day? This is by Heidi Mitchell. It's summer, the season when protein-rich burgers and steaks are sizzling on outdoor grills. That got us wondering, how much protein should an adult consume every day? Most dietitians consider these nutrients a building block of a healthy diet. Proteins, which are long chains of amino acids, are the basic components of tissue found in all human muscles and internal organs. Janelle Walter, a professor of family and consumer sciences at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, served up some advice on protein sources, portion sizes, fad diets, and a powerful pairing for vegetarians. The golden nutrient. Unlike carbohydrates or fats, proteins are the only nutrients that can be used to build new cells that can form tissue, said Dr. Walter, a registered dietitian. Our bodies, thanks especially to our livers, are protein-making machines, she said. But among the 22 amino acids found in proteins, 9 cannot be made by the body. These have to be supplied by food, and the best source of them is what we call a complete protein, which includes meat, chicken, fish, milk, or eggs. A total of 8 ounces, or about 45 grams, is all an adult needs each day, she said. And the type of complete protein it comes from doesn't matter in a balanced diet that includes fruits, vegetables, and grains. Though plant proteins found in nuts, tofu, chickpeas, and other sources do contain amino acids, none have all of those 9 essential ones on their own. However, Professor Walter said, there is a magical combination. If you put a nut or legume with a grain product, they complement each other to give the body what it needs. But it takes 1.5 cups of rice and beans to equal the protein in 3 ounces of meat. You have to eat a heck of a lot of food if you get your protein from plants versus animal products, Dr. Walter says. Meat is just more efficient. A gram of meat has the same number of calories as a gram of carbohydrate, she said. Iron and zinc. 2 meat patties the size of the palm of an average adult's hand are the right amount of protein to eat each day. Whether fresh, frozen, grilled, or even canned, any animal protein retains its nutritional value. Protein doesn't get destroyed or inactivated with cooking, freezing, or processing. In a restaurant, an 18-ounce steak probably includes the bone, fat, and gristle before cooking, so the true serving is about 13 ounces, still more than one adult requires a day. Although at least one study has shown that eating grilled meat can cause cancer, you'd have to eat lots and lots of charred meat for a long time to get enough carcinogens to have a negative effect, Dr. Walter said. She is a big fan of shrimp, but eats all forms of animal proteins. She cooks meat thoroughly to avoid naturally occurring bacteria such as E. coli and Salmonella. Also, the body can break down protein a little bit better when it's cooked, she adds. Unlike fish, light-colored meat or plant foods, only red meat has the ideal balance of iron and zinc, which the body requires to be taken together in order to be absorbed by the digestive tract. You can supplement your diet to get the right balance, but you should do it with a dietitian, the professor said. Too much iron and zinc can cause abdominal pain or worse, she said. Dr. Walter also said that despite pervasive myths, serving per serving of lean red meat has no more cholesterol than any other land animal. Dr. Walter sometimes refers patients to the USDA's meal planning site, choosemyplate.gov, which has diet plans based on age and activity level. For some reason, every drink and meal replacement bar claims it has extra protein, which we don't need, she said. People see protein as a magical nutrient with no side effects, which is way off target, and protein is not cheap. Overdoing it. Cooked red meat is the most efficient form of protein, but if you eat more than 8 ounces a day, it will be stored as fat, said Dr. Walter. Though the American carnivorous diet typically has more than enough protein that adults need. In countries without enough meat, she added, adolescents' growth often is stunted, which can't be reversed. In addition, their internal organs developed during that period may have fewer cells, which can cause problems much later in life. For grown-ups, a phase of protein deficiency can lead to anemia, tissue not healing as quickly as normal, and difficulty fighting off infections. But all those can be addressed quickly by rebalancing one's eating, Dr. Walter said. She takes issue with fad diets that restrict carbohydrates in favor of proteins because the brain runs on carbs and eliminating them could lead to dehydration. In addition, laying on the protein can tax the liver. People love to lose weight, but they often don't care where the pounds come from, she lamented. From the Harvard Health Letter, big jump in active surveillance for low-risk prostate cancer. New findings show a dramatic increase in the number of men taking a conservative approach to low-risk prostate cancer, according to a Harvard-led study published February 19, 2019 in JAMA. Use of active surveillance, which involves monitoring the cancer and delaying treatment unless it progresses, almost tripled from 2010 to 2015. The data come from the records of 165,000 men with prostate cancer. Researchers found that among men with low-risk prostate cancer, which is slow-growing cancer that's not considered life-threatening, active surveillance jumped from 15% in 2010 to 42% in 2015. Surgery fell from 47% to 31%, and radiation dropped from 38% to 27%. Other studies also have shown increasing rates of active surveillance in low-risk cases. Why the shift? The authors point to national guidelines that now recommend active surveillance in such cases, as well as favorable research findings. Emerging evidence has shown that active surveillance for low-risk prostate cancer is an effective alternative to surgery or radiation associated with similar and excellent chances at long-term survival, says Dr. Brandon Mahal, the study's lead author and a radiation oncologist with Harvard-affiliated Dana-Farber Brigham and Women's Cancer Center. Want to live longer? Rethink sugary drink consumption. Drinking lots of sugary drinks like soda, fruit punch, lemonade, or sports drinks is associated with many health problems such as weight gain and an increased risk of diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. But a Harvard-led observational study published March 18, 2019 in Circulation finds an even graver tie linking sugar-sweetened beverage consumption to an early death. Researchers analyzed the data from two large studies of more than 110,000 men and women who responded to questionnaires about their lifestyle and health for about three decades or longer. The more sugary drinks participants consumed, the higher their risk for death from any cause during the study period. For example, compared with people who rarely drank sugary beverages, those who drank 2 to 6 sugary drinks per week had a 6% increased risk for an early death. Those who drank 2 or more sugary drinks per day had a 21% increased risk for an early death, especially from cardiovascular disease and especially among women. drinking 4 or more artificially sweetened drinks per day, but not lesser amounts, also was tied to a slightly higher risk for early death. Best advice, avoid sugary drinks of any kind and avoid drinking more than 1 artificially sweetened beverage per day. From the Harvard Health Letter, the doctor will see you now in your home. The old-fashioned house call is back in a big way, and here's how it works. It's hard to get to the doctor's office when you don't drive anymore or you're struggling with several chronic medical conditions. But a growing trend makes it far easier for older adults to get medical attention, bringing routine exams and diagnostic tests to the patient's doorstep. It's called home-based medical care when doctors, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, or other providers visit and treat older adults right in their homes. Different from home health care, home-based medical care isn't the same as home health care, which sends skilled nurses and therapists to your home specifically to help you recover from illness, injury, or surgery with the goal of helping you get better and regain your independence. Instead, home-based medical care is more like a beefed-up house call. These are their regular visits. The only difference is that we bring the equipment to them, says Dr. Diane McMullen, a geriatrician with the House Calls program at Harvard-affiliated Mount Auburn Hospital. In some cases, the House Call provider can visit when you develop a sudden illness, like an infection. Some providers can bring mobile X-ray or ultrasound machines and equipment to draw blood and collect urine. Is it covered? Medicare began recognizing home visits about 20 years ago, says Brent Fiorine, executive director of the American Academy of Home Care Medicine. And the number of Medicare-funded home house calls has been increasing. For example, Medicare paid for 1.6 million home care visits in 2001. By 2015, the number was 2.6 million. But Medicare won't pay for a house call as a simple matter of convenience. The expert must certify that the visit was medically necessary. What's considered medically necessary? Coverage generally implies when an older adult has a condition that restricts the ability to leave home, making a visit to the doctor's office considerably taxing. For example, the person might need the help of an assistance walking device or wheelchair, the assistance of another person, or medical transportation, or the person may have a cognitive, psychiatric or emotional issue that makes it hard to get an appointment. Whether your private insurance will pay for a house call is a different story. That depends on your insurer. Making a difference. What's clear is that the house calls have positive effect on older adults. One of the main things is that someone who wouldn't otherwise be able to see a doctor now has one to help manage their chronic conditions, Dr. McMullen says. But the benefits go beyond getting necessary medical care. Dr. McMullen explains that home visits help foster the provider-patient relationship and they give providers a better understanding of a person's daily health challenges. It's a better observation of their real life compared with a typical office visit. I can see the house environment and a person's functional abilities. I can sift through their medications and see what they're actually taking, Dr. McMullen says. I get a better idea of what their quality of life can be and how to help. A home visit can also uncover issues that might not come up in a traditional office visit. For example, the visiting health professional might spot something that puts you at risk for falling. Having that kind of misunderstanding about your needs helps healthcare professionals tailor treatment even more precisely than usual. Some evidence suggests that house call medicine also reduces trips to the emergency room and healthcare costs. Finding the experts. Not all medical providers make house calls. Sometimes a small individual practice will provide the service, or it might come from a large medical corporation that specializes in house calls or a program that's based at an academic institution or hospital like Dr. McMullen's Mount Auburn program. Fiorine recommends looking for a house, call Doctors By, asking if your own primary care provider offers the service or can recommend someone who does, calling your local hospital and asking if it has a house call program, asking your insurance company if it has any home visiting providers, and finally searching the internet for, quote, house call doctors, unquote. You can also check out the resources page on the website of the American Academy of Home Care Medicine, which is www.aahcm.org. It lists members by state and shows the zip codes served by various health care professionals. Questions to ask. It's important to ask questions before booking an appointment with a health care professional who makes house calls. For example, while Medicare or your supplemental insurance may cover a house call visit, you will need to ask if the health care professional takes your insurance. If the answer is no, you may be stuck with a larger medical bill. You'll also want to know if the health expert is licensed or board certified, treats your particular medical conditions, will communicate with the doctors who currently care for you. Ask the Doctor by Dr. Anthony Komaroff, MD, Editor-in-Chief of the Harvard Health Letter. What do the measles outbreaks mean for me? Question. I hear that there are outbreaks of measles in the United States. I think I had measles when I was young, but I'm not sure. Do I need to worry? Answer. The measles virus has been infecting humans for at least 1,000 years. When I was very young in the 1940s, I got the measles. So did nearly every other kid I knew. It's very contagious. I had a high fever, sneezing, coughing, very red eyes, and then a rash on my face and all over my body. Fortunately, I didn't develop the severe complications of measles, such as pneumonia, which affects 1 in 20 people with measles, or encephalitis, which affects 1 in 1,000 and can be fatal. Still, I was miserable for more than a week. Then in the early 1950s, something wonderful happened, and it happened here at Harvard Medical School. Dr. John Enders and two colleagues developed a technique for growing viruses called cell culture. His invention led to the discovery of many new viruses. It allowed Jonas Salk and Albert Sabin to develop the polio vaccine, and it allowed Enders to develop a measles vaccine. Enders' curiosity-driven basic research led ultimately to the saving of tens of millions of lives and was honored with a Nobel Prize. The measles vaccine has been available since 1963. Before the vaccine became available, each year, up to 4 million Americans got measles. Of these, 48,000 were hospitalized, 4,000 developed encephalitis, and around 500 died. In contrast, today, no more than several hundred Americans per year get measles. In other words, before the vaccine, measles sickened enough Americans each year to fill 40 large football stadiums. Since the vaccine, the annual number of victims would fill just one small auditorium. The vaccine made a difference. So why do we still have measles? About 90% of kids who should get the vaccine do, but 10% do not. Their parents worry, wrongly so, that vaccines are harmful. When an unvaccinated person comes into contact with anyone carrying the measles virus, either at home or while visiting another country, that person can get the infection and also pass the infection on to others who haven't received the vaccine. The vaccine that protects against measles is called MMR, and it also protects against mumps and rubella, which is German measles. Who should get the vaccine? If you were born before 1957, as I was, you don't need the vaccine. Measles was so common when you were young that your exposure to the virus has given you natural immunity. However, if you were born later and never got the vaccine, you may well need to get it as an adult, but talk to your doctor. Pill-free treatment for urinary incontinence. Here's some relief for people with urinary incontinence who don't want to take pills to treat the problem. Behavioral therapy or bladder training works better for urinary incontinence than medication. According to a study published online March 18, 2019 by the Annals of Internal Medicine, researchers reviewed 84 randomized trials of women, average age 55. The studies evaluated 14 categories of incontinence treatments, including pill-free therapy and medications such as anticholinergic drugs, for example, Ditropan. Most of the strategies, except taking hormones or getting injections of a bulking agent near the urethra, were more effective than doing nothing to treat incontinence. But for both stress incontinence, the kind that makes you leak when you laugh, and urge incontinence, the kind that makes you rush to the bathroom, behavioral therapy was the most effective treatment, beating medications and neuromodulation, or electric stimulation of the nerves that control the bladder. The catch: it takes practice to make behavioral therapy effective, but it may be worth the effort, since medications for incontinence often have side effects. Walk your dog, break a bone. Owning a dog has many benefits, and a great one is the exercise you get from taking the leashed pet for walks. But there's a potential risk for older adults who walk their dogs: broken bones. According to a study published online March 6, 2019, by JAMA Surgery, researchers who combed through 13 years worth of data from emergency departments across the United States identified a rising number of fractures among older adults walking leashed dogs. 1,700 in 2004, climbing to almost 4,400 in 2017. Most, 53% of the bone breaks were in the upper arm, and 17% were hip fractures. Almost 30% of the patients required hospital admission during the study period. Either a large dog, which can knock you down or pull you over, or a small dog, which can get under your feet, can pose a fall risk, especially if you have problems with balance. How can you protect yourself? The authors suggest obedience training can help keep Fido from putting you at risk. Medically tailored meal programs linked to fewer hospital stays, lower costs. As we've reported before, free medically tailored meals are making a big difference for older adults who have chronic illness or are recovering from a hospital stay. The meals are provided by nonprofit agencies and are customized to your dietary needs, like a potassium and control diet if you have kidney disease, or a diet low in vitamin K if you're taking a blood thinner. Now, an observational study published online April 22, 2019 by JAMA Network Open suggests that taking part in a free medically tailored meal program is linked to fewer admissions to hospitals and nursing homes, as well as lower medical costs. Getting the meals was also tied to a 16% reduction in medical costs each month. And to find a program, go to www.fimcoalition.org/partners. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time, and if you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. You have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Stay healthy.